Will worship is the spirit of this age. Understand the deadly dangers of worshiping your own will and how to overcome this lethal mindset. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Flurry.
Jesus Christ went around casting out demons just routinely. Where did they all go? Are they dead? Did they die? They don't die. And millions of them are confined to this earth. In fact, all of them, along with Satan the devil. You want to know what worshiping the will is? You're beginning to be ruled by ruling spirits, the demon world.
That's my father from this program back in the year 2020, talking about all the encounters that Jesus had with demons and demonic activity. Armies of demons, in some cases. Where did they all go? Do they still exist? He referenced Revelation 12 there, saying that Satan and his demon army are now confined to this earth. They've been cast down to this earth. And in that passage, Revelation 12, God says, "Woe unto the earth." More preachers should be talking about this reality. Instead, there's a lot of them trying to tell you that this world is, you know, it's a pretty good place. That's not the way the Bible describes it. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Key of David program. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. This booklet, Overcoming Satan, powerful message. We've got to put on Christ. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. I advertised this recently, but I'll hold it up again. How to be an overcomer. You see the armor there on the cover. Ephesians 6, of course, is where Paul goes through all the armor that we've got to put on if we're going to be able to stand against the devil. Paul was well aware of Satan, his power, his influence. Jesus certainly was, as you heard from my father. Are you well aware of it? Do you believe Ephesians 2 and verse 2, which says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air? He surcharges the air with his attitudes, with his impulses, with his moods. It's all over the place. He has the power to do this because, like 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, he's the god of this world. He's the god of this world. That's why Paul in Galatians 1:4 says this world, this present evil world, it's evil. Like I said, you look at what the Bible says, and it has a very different view than what you hear so many preachers saying. Some of them talking about, yeah, we're experiencing an incredible revival. We're coming into a golden age. America's being blessed. Is that the truth? Is that reality? Colossians 2, we'll start our study there. This really was the main text, the main Bible text that my father was going through back in that 2020 Key of David. And then he wrote this incredible article in the Trumpet magazine later that year. I think it was May, June 2020, the dangerous new age of worshiping the will. If you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, now is your time to do it. A free one-year subscription awaits. And the best part of it is it's totally free. There's no cost or obligation. We'll send you 10 issues of the Trumpet magazine every month to your mailbox, almost every month. And of course, a lot of the content in our magazine, you can find it at our website, thetrumpet.com. We have so many platforms, it's hard to keep up with all of them. I have a daily television program that is broadcast online called The Trumpet Daily. And again, you can get to that every weekday at our website, thetrumpet.com. Here in Colossians 2, verse 18 says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility." People going around volunteering their humility, pretending to be humble, in other words, and worshiping of angels or demons, intruding into those things which he has not, That's omitted in most texts, which he has seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. I mean, they're worshiping fallen angels. They're actually filled with vanity. They're puffed up with vanity and pretending to be humble. Verse 19 says, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Last week on this program, I talked about the body of Christ, that is the church, and how that the living Christ is the head of the body. He's the head of the church. He lives. We talked about what Christ is doing today. The all-powerful, ever-living Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, living to make intercessions for us, living in us. Philippians 2:5, Christ in you. I mean, that's a great mystery that this world does not understand. Read about it in Colossians 1, verse 26, verse 27. They're not holding to the head. When you lose your head, you lose every sense of direction that there is. You don't know what's going on. You don't know where you're going. The head has to guide you. The head in this case is Jesus Christ, his mind. Philippians 2:5, verse 23, further down, it says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Wisdom in will worship. That's better translated forced worship of angels or demons. The demons are destructive. You see a path of destruction everywhere you look. That's brought on by demonic activity. That's why this world is becoming more and more dangerous. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 says that. And it says it would get worse in these last days. Paul, in his final letter, is trying to help Timothy see that in the last days, we're going to be coming into dangerous times, perilous times. And then in verse 13 of that chapter, he says, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. It's going to get even worse, the evil, the lawlessness, the sin. These are the times we're living in. And you see Satan's fingerprints all over it. In that article, A Dangerous New Age of Worshiping the Will, again, that's from May of 2020, my father says here, commenting on Colossians 2, he says, will worship essentially comes down to worshiping demons. That is the new age Adolf Hitler wanted to usher in. He talks about a fair bit of history in that classic article. That's the world Satan wants. That's what the leaders of God's church got into after Mr. Armstrong died. They didn't look to the Bible for answers. They just had a magic interpretation of things and said by implication, just follow our will, which happened to be Satan's will. And most of God's people, they're described in the Laodicean section there in Revelation 3, the Laodicean era of God's church. Most of God's people just went right along with will worship, worshiping the will. Worshipping human reasoning as influenced by the god of this world, Satan the devil. Listen again to my father's program from 2020, clip 2.
He said, this is a new age of magic interpretation of the world is coming. He's introducing it. Of interpretation in terms of the will and not of intelligence. So that doesn't that same spirit, don't you see that in politics even today? That people rely on that will and worship that will and not intelligence, not real solid reasoning. Do you see that in political parties today? Well, I think we all would have to say yes to that.
Yes, indeed. That's the world we're living in. You see people worshiping opinions, human opinions, all over the place. And ignoring God's truth. We're certainly not letting the mind of Christ in. My father makes the point in chapter 10 of the Key of David booklet. regarding Jew hatred. If you haven't noticed, that's spreading. I'm going to do a program on that eventually. We'll touch on it right here, actually. But you, a lot of people just hate Jews. They hate Israel, and they don't know why. There's no rational explanation. And of course, that hatred, it's been around for a long time. Look at U.S. politics in the last 10, 11 years. And just the irrational, unhinged hatred for Donald Trump. And it's not like it just all goes in one direction. There's hatred all over the place. And so much of it is just unhinged and deranged. All of it is. Michael Oren, he's been on my my daily program, The Trumpet Daily. He's a commentator in Israel, Little Israel, and he wrote for the Free Press. He said, for the past 50 years, in capacities both official and voluntary, before the American press, on campuses, in op-eds, I've spent most of my time defending the state of Israel. And what he talks about in this article is just the dramatic changes that he's seen in the reaction or response coming from American audiences. He was born in America, and now he's an Israeli citizen. He says here, challenging even in the quietest of times, standing up for Israel became especially daunting after October 7. Something changed. It became more difficult to defend Israel. October 7, I mean, he's talking about what happened just 2.5 years ago, when the victims of a verifiable genocide were baselessly accused of perpetrating one. So here are the Jews in southern Israel, victims of this genocide, and then it didn't take long before a lot of opinion in this world decided, you know what, I think it's the Jews that are actually guilty of genocide. How do you explain that kind of a mind change? And as he says in this article, it hasn't always been this way. Still, there remained my bedrock belief that most Americans, when presented with the facts, would come down on Israel's side. But while the hostility in much of the media was nothing new, the open-minded audiences I usually addressed had changed. He's commenting on a change in human nature, in human reasoning. And really what he's getting at here is what my father talked about in 2020. The age of will worship. Conspiracy theories once considered fringe had become mainstream, and age-old anti-Semitic tropes had resurfaced in a not-so-subliminal presumption of Jewish wickedness. Inexorably, he says, I came to understand that the cogent nation I once knew and appealed to, where a basic rationality could always be assumed, had fallen into lunacy. So again, how did this happen? He's seeing America's pivot on Israel, and it's changing his thinking about Americans, about basic rationality. It's gone to a point of lunacy. That's a strong word, but he's right. He's right. Then he makes this observation about America's culture. He says, proof of that dissent can be seen in this year's most celebrated movies, One Battle After Another, Marty Supreme, Bugonia, which are similarly about obsessiveness, radicalism, and paranoia. And then another movie, he says, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, is entirely about a woman losing her mind. Even The Breathtaking Sinners, that's the name of a movie, I guess, which begins as an elegy to the blues, and a vivid retrospective on the Jim Crow South, sinks into blood-sodden insanity. He says, quality films are often reflective of their times, and these productions are no exceptions. The America they depict, whether in the future, past, or present, is unhinged. I mean, this is a pretty good insight here. The kind of entertainment that we're consuming, that we find relatable. We're celebrating mental illness. We're fascinated by it. On the one hand, we don't really believe in the real spirit world. We don't believe in Satan and having to overcome Satan. And yet we're fascinated by all of this satanic thinking. Mental instability, mental illness. And as he says, I mean, these are the most celebrated movies that we want to watch. These are the ones that receive the awards. What is happening to us? What is wrong with our thinking? He says, America's national derangement poses myriad challenges to those not yet caught up in it. It says, to refute the accusation that Israel committed genocide in Gaza, one can marshal facts such as nearly 1-to-1 civilian to combatant casualty ratio, or the millions of leaflets and text messages dispensed by the IDF warning of impending operations, but it'll be like firing ping pong balls at a tank. Though readily disproven, Israel's guilt for annihilating an entire people is today accepted by more than half of that general public. What? Israel is annihilating an entire people? A lot of people believe that. An even larger majority favors the Palestinians. Even the misogynist, homophobic, anti-American terrorists over America's only dependable democratic military ally. Is this rational, he asks? Is this, you know, solid reasoning based on facts? Or is this propaganda? Is it deception and lies? Is it worshiping the will? Is it worshiping human opinions? In that 2020 article, my father said, Hitler talked a lot about the psychology of lying. What you tell people in the mass in a receptive state of fanatic devotion will remain. Hitler, I mean, he mastered the art of lying. Are there a lot of people that fall into that category today? Is human nature getting better or worse since the time of World War II? It says, we are now at the end of the age of reason. This is quoting Hitler. A new age of magic interpretation of the world is coming, of interpretation in terms of the will and not of intelligence. There's no such thing as truth, either in the moral or the scientific sense. Of course, if you look into the Bible, you see the prophet Isaiah says that truth fails. Daniel the prophet said truth is cast to the ground. So this is prophesied. And we're witnessing it. We're seeing it. My father says Paul reveals what happens when you worship the human will. It leads to essentially worshiping demons. And here again, look at Ephesians 2 and verse 2, where it says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Paul's talking about brethren that had come out of the world. He said, before your conversion, you were just going according to the course of this world. Well, what course was that? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Disobedience to God's commandments, to God. Satan is the author of that. He hates the truth. He hates God's purpose. In this article by Michael Oren, he gives a lot of historical examples of what little Israel is contending with as far as the international outcry in many cases over Israel committing, you know, war crimes or violating international laws. The world, if you haven't noticed, the world doesn't exactly gang up on terrorism sponsoring states. Not like they do on Israel. There's a spirit behind this. He says, finally, even if the Iran war ends today, the inanity will surely continue, insanity too. We must continue to fight, armed with these same weapons of truth, sharper now, more piercing. We must continue to battle the madness. This is, his emotional appeal at the end of his article. We can't get discouraged. We can't give up. We've got to continue fighting. And to be sure, nobody wants to quit or be overcome by our adversary, the devil. But what people need to know and understand is the real fight is a spiritual war. That's the war that we're in. Satan is the cause of all the sickness that we see in the world today, all the filth, all the rebellion, all the disobedience. Isaiah 1 and verse 4, the prophet Isaiah says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." It's upside down. Isaiah touches on this in chapter 5. We call evil good. I mean, if it's the filthiest, most perverted movie, chances are it's going to be given an award. We're going to be told that, no, this is good. We're celebrating mental illness here. I actually find these mentally unstable characters kind of relatable. This is where we are. The devil and his demons cast to this earth. Read Revelation 12, verse 9, verse 12. That's why there's so much sickness in our nation, so much sickness in the world. Verse 5, it says, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint." It says in verse 6, "From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." There's no soundness in it, in this body. There's no life. But it's an evil world. And Isaiah says in verse 9, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." I mean, there's just a very small remnant of people. Not a huge universal church of believers. It's just a tiny remnant. In the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah. Mr. Armstrong, he said back in 1965, he said, "The future welfare and even the existence of civilization is dependent on the educational system." I mean, so much of this rabid hatred for Jews, you see it most on university campuses. This is what our young people in many cases are taught. There's no soundness in thinking, in our minds. That soundness comes from God, submitting to God's rule, letting the mind of Jesus Christ in, walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. We let the mind in through the power of God's Spirit, and that's talked about in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. It says, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands." Stir up the gift of God. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Sound mind. Sound reasoning. It comes from God. The further you get away from God, the more will worship there will be. The more worshiping of human opinions there will be. And so you can see why Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 that evil men, seducers, would just wax worse and worse. And that's what we're seeing. My father, I don't think I have time to play the clip, but he went through Romans chapter 7 in that 2020 Key of David, where Paul is talking about the war of the wills. And he was very open discussing his carnal nature, the law of sin of human nature. And he cried out at the end of chapter 7, he said, "Who's going to save me from this wretchedness, this wretched man that I am?" And he thanked God at the end because he said it's through Jesus Christ that we can be rescued from all of this filth, from all of this evil. If you want to study further into what we're called to come out of this booklet, it's, as it says at the start, it's like a field manual for our battle, for the battlefield that we're on spiritually, how to be an overcomer. And then this talks about our chief adversary, Satan the devil, overcoming Satan. You see the word overcoming in the titles for both of those booklets. Don't forget also to request a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine as well. That's all we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us, and we hope to see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request How to Be an Overcomer and Overcoming Satan. Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.